Mr. Chair, distinguished representatives, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. I speak to you today as an employee of the University of Massachusetts Lowell, acting in my personal capacity as a researcher. My team has conducted research on the prospects for science and technology review as part of the Biological and Toxin Weapons Convention, supported by generous funding from the Greenwald Foundation. I was fortunate to present yesterday morning in a side event coordinated and sponsored by the government of Germany on science and technology review in the context of the BTWC. During that time, myself and other panelists discussed a variety of options for science and technology review, on which many states have expressed interest and have suggested mechanisms. These measures include, among others, scientific advisory boards, committees, or forums, open-ended working groups, and a science and technology advisor or advisors appointed to the BTWC Implementation Support Unit. All of these measures have desirable features and all present trade-offs related to cost, responsiveness, representativeness, and depth of analysis. One thing, however, appears clear. States share, almost without exception, an appetite and need for a robust mechanism with which to review science and technology and its implications, positive or negative, for the convention. This appetite arises in the context of a rapidly progressing life sciences and its increasingly global and distributed nature. Mr. Chair, no one maintains any delusions about how difficult it can be to achieve consensus in the context of the BTWC. However, it is important to caution states against forcing a false choice between choosing, to the exclusion of others, only one of our options for reviewing science and technology. Many, if not all, of these modes of science and technology review are logically independent. For example, there is no in principle disagreement between a science advisory board, forum, or committee on the one hand, and a science and technology advisor in the ISU on the other. This is because both forms of science and technology review accomplish different tasks and will undoubtedly involve a different scope of work. Scientific advisory boards, committees, or forums, for example, are particularly useful for generating guidance and constructing broad assessments of the scientific landscape. Open-ended working groups are particularly well suited to responding to key emerging issues, such as dual-use research in the life sciences or the topic of convergence between biology, chemistry, neuroscience, and artificial intelligence. A technical advisor is better suited at reviewing and collating the many ongoing reviews of science and technology that arise beyond the work of the convention. At worst, then, the central concern is one of priority, which mechanism states should act upon first. This is a much less demanding choice and one that deserves serious consideration. A negotiation on a first point of action towards a more robust science and technology review mechanism is a pivotal and actionable step that states can plausibly realize before the conclusion of the next review conference if they have the will to do so. Mr. Chair, we urge states to act on pursuing a mechanism for evaluating scientific and technological trends with implications for the BTWC as a first step to constructing a robust review process during future review conferences and intersessional processes. There are a plethora of potential models and sufficient time to develop agreements between states on which mechanism to pursue first. There should be no reason to falter in this task as we progress towards the 2021 review conference. Thank you, Mr. Chair.